mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 443, live with John Davey. Of course, this isn't live because it's a recording, but we were live when we recorded it, like we usually are. And with me, obviously, is John Davey.
Hello, how are you doing?
Debbie Melrose.
Hello.
From Corona Island. And Mary Lang.
Ah, from Corona, US.
Oh dear, you're not very well.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Oh, you're fine. No, that's a good...
My corona.
Yes, yeah, so, Deb, have you officially got corona or COVID-19?
Yes.
Hey?
Yes, I did officially have it. I am now very much better.
Good. But not that you had it, but you're very much better.
Yes.
Right, let's get on. John!
Hello there.
It's so nice to have you on the show.
Yes.
And we can finally, in a relaxed environment, discuss your record amount of time on Doctor Who. Personally, as far as I know, you're the longest running actor in the new series of Doctor Who. Say yes,
probably,
I am.
Probably believe so. Probably 46 episodes that have been in
how many?
Now.
46?
Yeah. Grief. Wow. And this year... This year, you've got a credit.
Right.
Pardon?
You must be doing something right, he said.
You must be doing something right, indeed. But yes, got credited about time too, I say. Do we talk over each other again?
I think we did.
Always.
Yes, be quiet. No, I'm just saying. But your credit was going up the old screen this year.
Well, yeah, that was really nice. We were uncredited up till this season, and one of my friends, Matt, that worked on it, Matt Roman, I think he potentially, or I don't know whether he was bullshitting me, but sorry, language, but he did ask whether we could eventually be credited, because everyone's credited, even the people that do the catering and yeah. Everyone except for the people that play the monsters. It's kind of a hierarchy thing, because normally you don't get credited unless you're a certain pay scale.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. But yeah, my name was up there, and I was in three episodes this year.
Yes.
Yay.
So I always didn't get a chance to, when we spoke in Newcastle, didn't really get, because it was a bit of a rush in and sort of talk sort of thing, I didn't really get a chance to think through questions like, what is your working day like on an episode of Doctor Who, you know, a typical working day?
Well, the start time obviously kind of depends on what character we're playing, but we normally get there around about 7 o'clock in the morning, and then we go to the costume department, the wardrobe department, and they put us in the costumes, and then typically we just sit around and wait and do nothing. in the industry, the phrase is called hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
So everyone's rushing around, you know, like mad idiots, trying to get everything done, and then we just sit around and wait. It depends on what we're doing and what episodes it was. Sometimes we're straight into it. So, for example, on The Name of the Doctor, where I played one of the Whisper Men, the prosthetic took around about 3 hours.
Wow.
So we had to be there at 4 in the morning. Then we were ready at 7. And then the prosthetic itself lent us to actually not be able to see anything at all. Then we spent 12 hours not being able to see and kind of stumbling our way around the set and trying to figure out what we're doing. And then that took about an hour to get off. And I know in 1 week we did 5 days in a row, so that was pretty testing, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you keep optimistic, you know, keep the optimism Same. Going when you've got that long amount of time in the chair. Keep well, saying, yeah, exactly.
And go to the bathroom and eat, you know, how do you do all those things?
Yeah, well, sitting still doing nothing is actually quite difficult. Well, it's difficult for me because I'm sure I've got ADHD, but I'd normally be able to last about 2 hours, and then I'd just have to just jump up and move around a little bit more. But normally, you know, normally just chatting to the people that are applying the prosthetics, and for the Whisper Man, it was the guys from Millennium FX. And yeah, just chatting and trying to stay sane. Also with the Whisper Man, the actual final piece for that was a woman's white stocking pulled over our heads. The stocking was then cut and glued to our lips. So when we had that on, obviously, if we ate anything and got it on the stocking, it would ruin the entire thing. So we were kind of banned from eating any messy food. It was pretty much drinking soup through a straw, albeit it was normally chunky vegetable soup, so that didn't exactly work. So in this season, for example, I played one of the Cybermen in the last two episodes, and the costumes were fantastic. They were designed by Ray Holman, the costume designer, and fabricated by Rob Alsop, who's made many things for Doctor Who. He's done the hand bots, the teleguards, and I know he's going to kick me because I can't remember many of the others. But the suits were really nice in comparison to the suits back in series two, which were made out of fiberglass and weighed about 4 stone. These were made of, I think it was a polyurethane plastic. It was like a sprayed plastic that got sprayed into a mold. Mm. So they were a lot lighter and a lot easier to maneuver. Albeit, you know, it is pretty challenging because the whole thing is compressed body all day long, which isn't great. And I can remember Patrick Stewart actually talking about when he did Next Generation, the first series, they had an all-in-one costume.
Oh, yeah.
And then it changed to like a two-piece. And basically Patrick Stewart was saying that the compression was just causing people's bodies just to ache. So, yeah, well, it's all part and part of what we do. We put something uncomfortable on and we don't complain about it.
And you look fabulous. Yeah.
Are any of these designed to fit specifically you, or is it a generic costume and you just have to put up with it being too small or too big or whatever?
Yeah, it's a generic costume. And, God, how long has it been? 15 years since I first appeared on the show. Obviously, I'm not getting any younger. So when I got the call to be the Cybermen, I went on a crash ketogenic diet for about 3 weeks. I lost about a stone in weight and just about made the cut to get into the costume again.
Ouch.
Were you one of the time lordy Cybermen with a sort of rough sort of fanny bits? That sounds rude, doesn't it? The things that went around the shoulders, those sort of
the big
collars.
Yeah. Time lord one.
What are they called?
Yeah.
You shared a picture of it just before it aired, didn't you?
Did I? I don't remember. Oh, John did.
Cyber time lords or something like that. I was one of those. It was basically the same costume except we had different heads with the nice ruffs.
And a swishy cloak.
Cloaks are the worst because it's very hot and then you've got a cloak on and then the weight of the cloak is just constantly just kind of adding extra pressure on you. But we did look, we did look pretty amazing.
Rather splendid, yes.
It's a small price to pay. I'm trying to, it won't allow me to actually post pictures.
Well, that's a bit mean.
The feed. I can share an emoji, a GIF, or a sticker. So.
Don't quite understand why.
Can Can people post? No, it doesn't. It doesn't come up. The camera.
Are you in the group? I think you are. You're already a member. I don't know. That's weird. That's annoying. Can you post on the actual page?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll chuck them all up.
I'll mark this as mark an announcement. I'll bung the video feed to the top of the page. Then all the stuff you post will come underneath it. Genius.
Oh, what was that? Sorry.
I was just talking technical stuff.
So shall I just create a post?
Yeah. Then? Yeah. Okay. Go for that. So your first episode was it was obviously in series one, wasn't it, or season one, as the Americans like to say. To remember a shot of you on the bus behind Billy Piper.
That's right. Yeah, that was quite funny. That was at the end of the day when we were doing. I've just tried posting the photos and it didn't load them. Ooh.
Posted. It's come up. I've had a message.
Yeah, it's just that I only can post one picture at a time.
Yeah, again, Facebook is great, isn't it?
We did a day of cyber manning and they had to get this little cutaway shot of Billy on the bus. So there was me, Kevin and Adam. We were bus goers and the bus pulls up outside and I sit behind Billy. And I didn't notice at the time until it appeared on the World's Greatest TV Mistakes and I do remember once it came up. So I sit behind Billy on the bus. And then when they did the interior shot, it looked really odd because obviously I was sat directly behind her. So they asked me to sit on a row back and to the side. And I did question it at the time. And the AD said, no. That's it isn't going to worry. No one's going to notice it. And then I ended up on the world's greatest TV mistakes. I think Rob Webb said he said, "Oh, come on, Billy. This ex just travelled through space and time just to get a better seat." but you can, you can marvel at that little clip if you actually go to my YouTube channel. I've got it up there.
So, but obviously, when you appear in Doctor Who, you're always sort of sat there watching it. When are we going to see John? Of course, it's always quite a very exciting moment when we spot you. And there was one earlier on this series that where you appeared as yourself, and we had to rewind it to make sure it was you. There was also one where was it in the one with the new Doctor, and it was what I'm called the Jadoon story. You appear in a group of henchmen.
No, it was Spyfall.
Oh, was it Spyfall?
Yeah.
It's a similar scene, similar scenario. I wish I got my facts right now. But yes, yeah. That was quite. Hey, John! Yeah, so almost as exciting as when John Barrowman appeared.
So, so that was quite nice. That was I think it was only like half a day that we had. There was me, a guy called Elliot, and. Another guy called I forgot his name, it'll come to me. And we were henchmen and we were in a Range Rover and we pull up and we jump out with our guns and then Graham starts shooting us with his laser shoes. So that was pretty exciting.
When you appear as yourself, you do tend to appear as quite tough characters, not as yourself, but with your face. I mean, not as when you're not in costume, you tend to appear as quite tough characters.
Well, look at his face; he looks like a tough character.
Oh, he's lovely.
Well, having a shaved head, kind of goes halfway there.
It was natural.
Thanks, Debbie.
And then, normally, I manage my expectations with my acting abilities. So normally, it's just scowl and look a bit mean, which I appreciate.
Are you in the Christmas episode, or will you be?
I cannot confirm or deny any knowledge.
See, okay.
I've just sent you. I've just sent you a whole series of photographs, Adam, on Messenger. So
oh,
you can
yes.
Actually, if you're able to actually post it in the
oh, they're cool. Yeah, I can't post it immediately, but I shall post them. Well, maybe I can. I'll have to just fucking grab them off. While the girls ask you some questions, because that's what they're supposed to do in regards to being co-presenters, I'll do some stuff with these pictures. That means do something, girls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, when you get to portray a person instead of one of those monsters requiring all that setup, do you, when you get the script or get the notification, it's like, yay, I can just be me and you don't have to go through that? Or do you get a particular thrill out of all those prosthetics?
I definitely prefer being in a creature costume more than being myself, albeit it's sometimes a nice little boost of the ego that you actually see your face on there as well. we got to prop up our ego once in a while because it totally gets ripped to pieces on a daily basis. It is nice to be seen, albeit, you know, I don't want too much to do when my face is seen on screen because...
we all hate looking at ourselves.
I'm not an aspiring lovey as such, so put me in an uncomfortable costume and I'm hidden behind the mask and I feel a lot more comfortable performing.
Totally. For sure, you get a lot more material to present at cons when you're in these costumes because, you know, it's always fun to show us all what you've been through.
Definitely. And, you know, it is, little did I know, back in, I think it was actually October 2004 when I went for my rehearsal, that, you know, I would get this job and I would be still doing it 15 years later. And especially coming to the cons as well, it is really, really nice because it just really brings home kind of how good and how important a job we're actually doing. And, you know, when I did series two as a Cyberman, it was like living the dream. And then the more episodes I kept on doing, it was, well, this is a job. This is kind of what I'm doing. And every time we meet the fans, it's really nice that they get excited to meet me and hear all the stories. And
I think it's mainly because of your exuberance, John. You're very engaging and you're so enthusiastic about what you do. And that sort of comes from you, and that's what attracts people to want to speak to you and talk to you about it, because it's because of you basically.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've never had a gravy train in life, and I think my careers advisor at school said or told me to work on a building site, so anything above that is I'm doing better, I guess. You know, obviously they're the experts at school and they obviously know what's best for you.
I tell you what, though, what they're really good if in the next series, hopefully you'll get one, they'll bring in a sort of a henchman scene that involves sort of someone being on a skateboard with a three-dimensional one of those. What's that camera you got that does all the dimensions?
Oh, the 360.
That's the one.
That'd be
really quite cool.
Yeah.
That'd be right up your street, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. might have to try and write it in.
Yes. So have you also, what's your favourite sort of scenes or episodes you've been in that stick in your mind?
Oh, dear me. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to have to actually... I'm just going to
look through the episode list. That's what I do.
Yeah, I know. Let me just search for...
And then I'm going to want to know who among the major actors, you know, the doctors and companions, have you enjoyed the most working with?
And we can't really talk about who probably annoyed you the most or anything like that.
Right.
That's just well, Kirby's not here then.
They're all marvellous, darling.
Oh, are they? Lovely.
Right, let me just quickly get up my list so I can actually remember what I've done, because I barely remember what I did yesterday. Notable people that were really, really nice. Freema Agerman was fantastic. She was great. They're all great. Meeting Christopher Ryan on the Sultaran Stratagem was great fun.
He's a lovely bloke.
We did a few scenes, and then the day after, obviously he wasn't in his Sultaran outfit, and he was just walking around, and obviously I kind of clicked because of his height, and just spent about an hour just chatting to Chris about stuff that he's done in Only Fools and Horses and all sorts of other stuff. So just getting to meet people and just chatting to them and listening to their stories is always pretty special, really. Let me have a look. Oh, in fact, actually, one quite special moment as well was meeting Nick Briggs for the first time.
Yeah.
On Rise of the Cybermen, because obviously I was aware of what Nick has done previous to that, and I was very pleased to find out that Nick doesn't really take anything that seriously, or doesn't really take life that seriously.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there wasn't any sort of airs or graces. He was Nick being Nick, which was pretty good. The Lodger was a good episode because I was in the football scene.
I haven't seen that one. Oh, I've seen the episode, but I haven't seen you in it yet.
No, well, I'm the goalkeeper, but I'm the goalkeeper on the doctor's side, so I don't actually get much to do. So that was quite good.
Were you playing football for then, for that scene?
It seemed to go on forever, albeit I was in goal, so I wasn't really doing a lot. but that was quite good. And here's a little story. We basically warmed up. All the guys kind of got in a circle, and we're all kicking the ball from one to another. And so somebody kicked the ball towards me, and it fell a bit short. So I kind of lunged at the ball, hit the ball, and it hit Matt Smith in the ball area. And he ended up rolling around on the floor, and I was like, oh, God, so that was kind of embarrassing. Then I was in another scene where he's actually in the call center, and I'm sat next to him in the call center. And Matt, whenever he was on set, he was very hyper and fidgety, just kind of like his doctor's character. So he was sat on the chair next to me, and he leant back and put his arms out to stretch. And as he stretched, he ended up walloping me in the face. And then he kind of went, oh, sorry. And then he was like, ha ha, I got you back for the other day.
Yeah, he's a bit of a scamp. I've met him twice on the same day. Both times he was a bit of a scamp, but it makes you feel relaxed when you sort of meet your heroes and they just sort of muck around and stuff, so that's quite nice.
Yeah. Meeting Richard E. Grant was pretty special. Albeit I didn't see him, I could only hear him because of the whisper face kind of
voice, that man. Yes.
Yeah fantastic. And obviously the first time I saw Peter Capaldi was in Deep Breath. I was one of the one of the tunnel droids. So that was pretty fantastic. And I met obviously Peter quite a few times, and also I went and did the Doctor Who Festival, which was in Sydney. I flew out for that and basically got in a Maya costume and performed with Dan Starkey and did like a little Dalek thing. Again, it's just one of those things. I got in a lift, the lift door opened, Peter gets in, and I've worked with Peter loads of time, but I just couldn't really say anything because it's just like you're looking at that face, and it's not like, it's a real person as such, and I'm kind of
it's been something you've sort of idolized, or you know, just when you suddenly talking to them, it's like I was talking to Paul McGann, and I was just like
brain freeze.
Yeah, well, exactly. You, Mary,
I did exactly the same thing with Kylie Minogue on Voyage of the Damned when I was in one of the Heavenly Host costumes. He took my head off, and she was stood right in front of me, and then she just went, "Oh, is it hot in there?" And I literally just went, "No."
And princess is talking to me.
I tell you what did make me feel better was I was talking to Edward Russell, who was the brand manager from Doctor Who, and his job was to kind of, you know, look after a lot of the actors that came in, and he's like a massive Kylie Minogue fan. And I told him this story, and he was like, he goes, "Yeah, I was exactly the same." He said, "I spent an entire day with her, and everything she said, I couldn't engage properly, and I was being really flippant and just blowing it off, but it was just nerves."
Yeah. Well, I was like that when I was thrown into an interview with Paul McGann a couple of years ago, and he was sort of just being awkward, and we did get a really good interview out of it, but because he was being awkward, it just made me more and more nervous. So, but it was good in the end, but it was just really, really tricky one. Whereas all the other people I've interviewed were much, much sort of easier. Even Sylvester, when he didn't really want to do it, and then he sort of got into it and he was fine. But
Sylvester's brilliant. I was lucky enough to go on the Sci-Fi Sea Cruise with him.
Oh yes, yeah.
Last December we had a lovely 10-day jaunt around the Caribbean. So
that looked amazing.
Absolutely brilliant. I'd say it's not like, oh, you've just gone on a jolly, because obviously there's 50 fans there, so you're basically kind of at a convention for a week. albeit we are allowed to go off to our rooms and be grumpy, but I've got to try and give everyone their money's worth. But Michael Troughton was there as well.
Oh, wow.
And his lovely wife Roxanne, and he was great fun. Fraser Hines was there as well. He's always a good laugh. Yeah. So obviously on the back of all the stuff that I've done on Doctor Who, I've been invited to lots of conventions. I think the first one I went to was one at Margam Park Castle called Heroes, Legends, Freaks and Geeks. And, you know, literally when I did that first one, I was like rabbit in the headlights because I didn't really know what to expect or you know, the whole gist of it. But as kind of time went on, you know, I'm turning up and I'm like, you know what, I'm a big nerd myself anyway, so I'm going to all these places chatting to people who were pleased to see me. So I couldn't actually think of a better job, really.
No, I can imagine. But yeah, so like I say, but obviously we run in FantasyCon, you know the ones that are that people are going to like are the ones that are just, and because they're gravitating to them. We had Felila Shabalala. I don't know if you worked with her on the Next Doctor story. Maybe were you in that one?
I was in the Next Doctor, and
she played Rosita.
Yeah, she was Rosita. She was lovely. Yeah. My husband had a bit of a thing for her.
Yeah, because I played one of the Cybermen. I was just trying to think if she was in any of the scenes that I was in. I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure if I was. Yeah, meeting David Morrissey as well. That was kind of.
Yeah, he was in that one.
Yeah.
So I mean, she was really, really popular. So just like you, she sort of just has a lot like a magnetic personality, whereas you have others that are just sitting there sort of looking at their phones waiting for things to happen.
Hello.
Wander off.
Yeah. Not mentioning any names, but so Yeah, it's just so exciting when obviously when the episodes are on and we're sort of watching them, and then suddenly your face pops up. But I just love that. And then you, because you, that's the only time you know it's you. You can see all these Cybermen stomping around. Yeah, what there might be, John. But when it's actually you, it's great. There was a scene, wasn't there, in there was a scene with Missy and Clara in a square somewhere, which I think you appeared in as a new unit soldier.
No, that was in Spain, so they won't fly us out.
Oh, they took you to Spain.
They wouldn't fly us out for that. But I am in Death in Heaven as a unit soldier. So when Myth is on the aeroplane, it's sort of tied up in the gurney with Osgood. I'm one of the unit soldiers behind her, and I get vaporized. On-screen death.
And there's another one where
you're... It makes me go back and see some of these episodes.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be looking at them very soon, so we can do a little John hunt while going through... while doing the journey. We haven't quite reached the new series yet.
When we reach the John era. John David era.
Well, I know there's a With Nail and I drinking game, so maybe there should be a...
done that a few times, yeah.
Really good.
You survived.
Oh, yeah.
Barely. John, have you worked on any other shows, or is Doctor Who your one and only?
Ah, well, that's a very nice little segue there.
Yes.
I've worked on all sorts. I've worked on Merlin for 3 years, the BBC Merlin show.
Brilliant program.
Arthur's Knights. And that was a great gig. Had plenty of stuff to do. Generally just lurking around in the background looking mean, as I normally do. I did get to ride a horse once, which was quite special. And more recently, I was in His Dark Materials.
Wife told me to delete every episode of, because we never got around to watching. I wish I'd known that now. I can undelete them. It was only deleted yesterday.
You were the guy who caught the children with the fox demon.
I was the gobbler that... kidnapped Billy. So that was really good. That I was in a previous scene with Sister Clara, and they had to reshoot that scene for reasons I won't go into. I then got the scene where Billy walks up and I've got my red-eyed fox. And what's quite interesting, in the script, I was humming an ominous song. So they sent me the sound file, and I had to learn this sound file, and I had to hum this song again and again and again. And it was kind of going out of tune after about 15 takes. But when it actually aired, I wasn't actually humming a song. There was some kind of eerie singing, something like that. So that was brilliant fun. And obviously, I got to meet Ruth Wilson as well, which is pretty special.
She's good.
The scene that she had, she wasn't actually saying any words, but oh my goodness, she's just absolutely captivating. Is that one thing, you don't have to say words to act. That was pretty special, really.
Must be a few instances where you've done a full day's work on a scene and then the episode goes out and that scene's not in the final episode.
Yeah, I did learn very quickly not to go, oh, watch so-and-so tonight, you're going to see me in it, because you never know what's going to end up in the on the cutting room floor. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you a picture of my face from His Dark Materials, just a little screen grab that
I
did.
That's a good idea. We'll do that.
Yeah. How do you get these different jobs? Is it your agent reaching out, or does one producer say, oh, we saw you in this, we'd like to use you in our thing? How does that happen?
It's normally the agent, so they'll get given the specifics of a character, of what they're looking for, and then they'll normally send over maybe 10 different versions because everybody loves options. And then, you know, obviously, if my face fits, or you know, many of the production staff on lots of the various different programs I've worked with before. So, a lot of it is that they normally say 80% of casting is what you look like. However, the thing is that yeah, you might look great, but if you, I don't know, are unprofessional or you're not on your game, it's going to slow up the whole process. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm good enough at what I do that if someone that I know who's on the production staff, you know, sees my picture come through, that they do pick me because I'm great.
Does anyone ever say, oh, we can't use your face, but it doesn't matter because you're going to be covered up in prosthetics anyway?
that's the advantage of playing playing a monster on Doctor Who, that they can keep using you again and again. Albeit I have, you know, I have had my face out. I'll go through the list of actually where you will see. So Doomsday, there's me getting on the bus with Billy Piper. Then the Sultaran Stratagem, I'm one of the Atmos workers outside the cloning room, and I say this area is out of bounds. And then
was that in a Bristol accent though?
Well, the funny thing was Susie Leggett, who was the producer at the time, or the line producer, she basically said, right, do you want to just go through the lines? And I said it, and she's like, great, now do it without a West Country accent. Like, like, what's wrong with it?
every planet has a north and every planet has a west country.
Yeah, that's right, me barber. I know. I think there are very few people. I know Stephen Merchant can get away with basically being Bristolian in everything he does.
Yes, indeed. Especially Big Bang Theory included.
Yeah.
He's never changed his accent, has he? No.
And also as well, I don't know whether this has gone out in the States, but This Country, which is basically like a mockumentary. It's, if you imagine The Office, but in a West Country village with a couple of idiots. And it is absolutely brilliant, but it's really nice actually hearing a nice West Country accent. Anyway, The Sultaran Stratagem, you see my face. And then... The Beast Below, where I play one of the winders. So Amy Pond, she comes out the tent, and there's four winders above her, and she gets sprayed with a gassy ring.
Have that problem all the time.
And then let's have a look.
We'll talk about while you're looking up that when you said about Amy Pond, and of course now Karen Gillan's main part in the Marvel Universe, you don't get to see her sort of, you know, in her costume really. You can't recognise her in her get-up.
Yeah, apparently I'm not sure whether the story was true, but she just shaved all her hair off for the role, and then they said to her, oh, you didn't actually need to do that because we could get around it.
Yeah.
Albeit, I don't know how much hair you can actually hide in a bowl cap, but it definitely worked.
She was bald when she did the farewell scene with Matt, I think. I wonder if that was around the same time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, she's in Jumanji too.
She is in right. Jumanji. Yes.
Yeah.
I recognize her in that.
No, she's brilliant. So I'm a unit soldier in the Bells of St. John. Then I'm a unit soldier in Day of the Doctor. So there's a scene where the Doctor and Clara walks into the gallery room with a big painting of David Tennant and Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
And if you watch that scene again... as they walk in, there's two unit soldiers guarding the outside. And then when the camera flips around, there's two unit soldiers guarding either side of the painting. And I am actually in
the same scene twice.
Oh.
The unique way the BBC has funded, they just went, well, we'll just use you over there.
twins. It's twins working for UNIT.
Yes.
Yeah. And then deep breath, I'm a tunnel droid. So a door opens and a load of droids came out, and you can see my face in that. Death in Heaven, I'm a UNIT soldier. So I'm there kind of holding Peter's arm. And then when Missy gets knocked unconscious, I drag her off. And interestingly enough, the script actually said Missy falls unconscious and a UNIT soldier catches her and walks off with her. So we did that on the first take. And then Richard Salehi, the director, said, it doesn't look right. It kind of looks like you've just got married. So so there was me and my other friend, Pete Guiney, and we basically catch her and drag her off. And then I get vaporised on the aeroplane, which is good.
You've had a real terrible time, haven't you?
Yeah.
He's regenerating. He's done.
And then in the Zygon inversion, I'm a policeman. So when the doctor comes off the beach after the plane has crashed, I'm basically there. And I have a staring contest, and I've actually got a screen grab of this, so I'll send that to you as well.
Thank you.
So I can't exactly remember how the story went. So technically I was a Zygon, but in human form, something like that. So that was actually quite nice. So I got to have a staring contest with the doctor, which is quite exciting. He won because I blinked, and I see it on screen as well. right, let's get back to the list. Tell me to shut up if I'm waffling on too much.
Debbie can do that.
And then, oh, Return of Dr. Mysterio. So the scene where they're on the shuttle crash craft and it's about to crash, and Nardole's getting strangled by one of the sort of half-headed drone type people, you get to see my face. Well, you get to see half of my face, and that was quite interesting. They pretty much just painted half of my face green, and with the magic.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember seeing that one.
Yeah, they removed
not the
my
greenness
face.
Obviously the yeah carry on.
I'll send you a picture of that as well for your own private collection if you want.
Oh, too late. I've been posting these.
And then obviously Skyfall Part 2. So the face has appeared.
Yeah, it seems to be happening more and more. Maybe they're starting to realise. You're getting credits now. You know that when the doctor changes back into a bloke, it could be a chance.
Mm-hmm. Well,
technically, I could be some sort of lost time traveller just skipping through time.
You could be one of the Doctor's faces. Oh, no spoilers there. One of the Doctor's pre-Hartnell faces.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Possibilities are endless now, really.
Yes.
I need to watch the episode again because I just got really confused.
I thought you said you weren't supposed to say that.
Well, to be honest, I was really tired when I was watching it.
And
I think my ego got the better of me, and what I was doing was I was screen grabbing as the episode was going on and then posting photographs. So it probably wasn't the best way to actually watch an episode. So,
well, don't worry. My wife fell asleep and she refuses to watch it again. So, and my daughter has not watched any of it because she thinks Doctor Who is rubbish now.
Oh, right.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, you need to have a word with her, Deb.
Because doesn't your soon to be married daughter have a boyfriend who's a Doctor Who fan?
Oh, he's more of a Doctor Who fan, so he's a little bit more bendy, shall we say. Well, Doctor Who fans are far bendier than people who just watch Doctor Who because it's on telly and they've got nothing else to watch of an evening. So, yeah, that's why he's all right with it. Certainly, there's a couple of pretty good stories that stuck out as we reviewed. Listen to the show, John. But yeah, well, I quite enjoyed it myself. But she fell asleep, and she said it's because it was rubbish and it was boring that she fell asleep. Not the fact that she always falls asleep at that time of a Sunday evening anyway, or whenever we watched it, of an evening, about 8 p.m. I think it was Saturday we tried watching it together as a movie. But I quite enjoyed it myself. But there you go. Each to their own.
You describe yourself as a bit of a geek. Anyway, so besides Doctor Who, what other favorites do you have that you like to keep track of?
Yeah, what's your topic of viewing?
Yeah. Ooh, well, this is now our first world problems, obviously, with Netflix and Amazon, that there's more good content than you've actually got enough time. Well, we've all got enough time to actually watch it.
Truly, yes.
So,
are you a Marvel Universe guy?
I am. As a kid growing up, Star Wars was my big thing. I was also in Rogue One. I forgot about that.
Oh, how could you forget that?
That's my favorite current Star Wars, that one. That is very Star Wars.
Yes. You see my chin for 1 second as I pass the camera.
Yeah, you're in
screenshot
Star Wars,
of that one.
You're in Star Wars. How
I know. I did about 3 days. It's the Jeddah village scene where Jin and Cassian walk through the village. So yeah, that was quite a special thing actually being on the set, and it was part of the reshoots, which was, I don't know, the budget was like $1 million a day. So, yeah. So when you're spending that sort of money, you actually see how a well-oiled machine Lucasfilm is. Mm. That was pretty special. But yeah, also I was a huge fan of the comic 2000 AD as a kid. So Judge Dredd was my my big go-to thing as a child, and I went to a convention, I think in Stockport. Is that near Blackpool? No.
Yeah, no. Southport's near Blackpool, isn't
Southport.
It?
Yes. Yeah, I went to a convention in Southport, and John Wagner, who's the creator of Judge Dredd, was there, and the local sci-fi fan club people took us all out, and we had a curry, and I got drunk with John Wagner. So that was, that was a huge special thing. But recently, what have I been watching, which is really good? Obviously, I've watched Tiger King, which is
I'm tempted. It's number one on Netflix, isn't it?
That. Yeah.
I can only watch that in stages. It's just
I can't keep up with that at all.
Netflix are really, really, really good at constructing documentaries. Also, you know, Don't F with Cats as well.
I loved Don't F with Cats. Oh my.
They literally, like, you get into it and you go, all right, yeah, I know what's going on. And then they just pull it out at the end of one of the episodes and you just go, what? Oh, goodness. And obviously it's, you know, designed to...
I did like I'm Not Okay With This on Netflix. That was a really good sort of series. It was quite short episodes. That was quite... But it was a bit too quick. 7 episodes and it was done. But it was a really, really good show. That I enjoyed that.
I haven't seen that. I'll tell you one thing that I did love as well is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. She Must Be Obeyed loves that one.
Yeah. It's I'm a huge comedy fan. All dare I say I'm a massive... American comedy fan, probably more so than UK comedians, but
Big Bang Theory.
But the just the look and everything in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is just outstanding.
It's been really good. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I've been also trying to get into Picard, but every time I try to sit down, something else happens.
It's quite dark though, but it is good. It's not Star Trek: Next Generation, is it? It's something dark and but beautiful at the same time, because the actors are amazing.
Next Generation was huge for me because I was at the time when that came out. I don't know whether it came out or got did it come out on BBC Two originally? And then
It was on BBC Two about 6:45
on
a Wednesday, I think it was.
It's like having Kirby on the show.
Yeah, and then I think Sky then started showing it, or they bought the rights.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because like very early on they got it, didn't they? So
yeah. And at the time I was being a doster and I was unemployed, so I call it my period of research. So sitting down and watching, you know, oodles amount of television and films, you know, has helped me towards my career. That's what I tell myself anyway. Okay. the Marvel movies. I like the good Marvel movies.
We watched Iron Man 1 for the first time last night and thoroughly enjoyed that.
So good.
Yeah.
And another thing that I do like, and there's a segue from Iron Man, is The Mandalorian, which is obviously John Favreau.
Oh, yes. Might have to peek in at that one.
Oh, I love that.
I've never seen that.
My daughter is obsessed with Baby Yoda, even though I keep saying, it's the child, it's not Yoda, it's the child.
Something's come through on the live video feed. It's Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan says, hi, I'm working, that's why I'm not joining. Well, so he's working, yet he's watching.
Yes, but he told us he was working earlier, so why has he come on to reiterate it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's Kirby, that's why.
It's Kirby, yeah.
oh, bless him.
Yeah, so, yeah, Mandalorian, that's been really good. What else have I been watching? I do like... not conspiracy theory documentaries, but things that delve into the inner workings. So there's a series called Dirty Money, which is on Netflix.
Oh yeah, I was about to watch that. I've actually saved that ready to watch.
Yeah,
because I've been watching Forensic Files.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, everybody seems to be an expert on something. And they go, well, why can't they just do this? Or why can't that happen? And you're like, oh, here we go again. But Dirty Money is a brilliant series for just showing how corrupt everything is. And it's all about, and at the end of the day, it's all about the money. So regardless of how many people shout into the abyss about something, we're live in a capitalist society and the money always wins.
I tell you what I enjoyed, John, on Netflix was The Toys That Made Us. There's two series of that.
Oh, yes.
And The Movies That Made Us is one series of that. They're really, really worth watching.
That was, yeah, I literally binge-watched the whole series of The Movies That Made Us. Yeah. And especially with that, because it was Dirty Dancing, Home Alone.
Die Hard was one of them.
What was
Die Hard was the last one, wasn't it? I think
that's right, yeah. And basically all of those movies, which were absolutely massive, when they were being made, and also before they were being made, the studio just thought they were a load of rubbish.
Yes.
And that's true. Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That was just a throwaway movie, a project of Lucas's.
Yeah. I know. But unfortunately, obviously, with the how cinema works as a medium now, you know, movies that get made are pretty much either blockbusters or low under $10 million movies, because obviously, a studio is a business. You know, they're not necessarily a creative endeavor. They're big corporations and they want to return on their $200 million they're investing. So cinema's kind of gone either like indie or blockbusters, and there's kind of nothing in the middle. But then again, the content that Netflix and Amazon put out now kind of
fills the gap.
I'll
tell you what I enjoyed though, artistically, was The Favourite. I really enjoyed The Favourite. It's just beautiful to watch the camera angles, the lighting on it, because it was done with natural light, wasn't it? And, of course, the acting. It's just an amazing film all round.
I saw that in the cinema, and it was... it's great when you watch a movie and you come out of the movie going, wow, it hits you. Yeah. And you're... And unfortunately, especially because I work in the... the business is not very good to actually watch a movie because you start picking it to pieces and seeing all the mistakes. But it is great when you actually watch something and you go, you know what, I couldn't actually see a single thing wrong with that. Chernobyl was another one, the series, which is on HBO and Sky, which was just a phenomenal piece of filmmaking.
Yeah, I just read an article about during this coronavirus thing, in order for the studios to make money, because they're not sending their films to the theaters now because the theaters are all closed, and they're offering movies for, you know, you can pay like 10 something in American dollars, 10.50 or something, directly, and you get to see the movie first showing at home. And they think that the studios are going to find that to be such a lucrative way of doing it, bypassing, you know, the middleman of the theaters, that they're wondering if theaters are really ever going to open again. Because
They have done that in the past, and I can't remember, they've simultaneously released stuff to buy online as well as it in the cinema. But I do love going to a cinema, and there's also having the audience there. Certain movies I'll definitely watch in a cinema because it's an experience.
I totally agree.
It's a tricky old business, and is constantly changing, and you've got to kind of adapt and survive, really.
Must be so nearly finished. Must be such good fun being part of that, because you obviously it's a day job for you, but you don't really know what's going to come up next, do you? So that you've got the day job bit, then you've got that waiting for it to come out, that excitement of watching the episode, because you must not really know the plots of the episodes, really. You do your scene.
We kind of get bits and pieces. We don't ever get the full script. We just get...
I was going to ask if you ever got the full script.
No. Also, it kind of ruins it when I watch it, because I like to be surprised. I want to see the thing and go, I don't know what's going to happen. And then I'm like, here's the scene that's coming up, and I know what's going to be happening. And obviously, you know, obviously I knew that the Master had returned before anybody knew. So, so that was quite interesting, and obviously I didn't tell anyone.
Well done.
Much the annoyance of...
Which is something you've had to do for quite a long time now.
I know. It's, you know, just one of those things.
Yes.
Albeit, being isolated and not going out, I'm strangely enjoying it. Mm. Basically, it's meant that all of these little jobs that I've put on the back burner for the last year or so, I've gone, you know what, I've got no distractions now, and I don't feel guilty about not working, because, to be honest, I probably work, I probably don't work more than I do work. So when I'm not working, I kind of feel like I should be trying to find work. So having this time off has basically just made me go down my to-do list, and I'm actually sat in my garage, which I'm kind of three quarters of the way converting into a podcasting studio / office.
Is that a nice way to segue into your podcasting?
Yeah.
Well done.
So I started recording. Here's my procrastination for you. I started recording podcasts 2 years ago, and I haven't actually done anything with them yet. And it's literally just because I get busy with work, and then I don't know, it's difficult to get back to it, and then I kind of don't know really what I'm doing about how to actually publish the podcast. But I bumped into a chap called Herb, who's got a podcast called The Earplug Network, and he lives in New York State, and I met him at a convention when I was in New York, and he basically happily said that he'll put my podcast out. So I think I've done about 8 so far. There isn't really any rhyme or reason for it yet. I'm just seeing where it goes, but one of them's with my friend Ian Matthews, who's the drummer in the band Kasabian.
Name dropper.
Yeah. who I've known for years, and you know, until he got the gig working for Kasabian, he was a jobbing drummer. I think he said he was in something like 13 bands at one time, just trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And then another one that I did was with an actor called James Duval, who lives in LA, and he was in Independence Day. He was Randy Quaid's older son, and also he was Frank the Rabbit in Donnie Darko, as well.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Some other things. yeah, and quite a few more. So literally, I need my safe space. So as soon as I get my studio all sorted out, everything in its place, I can sit down and concentrate, I will be releasing them.
Good. Well, feel free to drop a link on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Oh, you have.
Let me join it.
You've already joined it, you silly man.
No, it does say joint.
Hey?
Which you have joined. You have joined.
You're in.
Yeah, sorry.
You probably turned off all the notifications for it, though, but you have joined.
No notifications are on, actually.
Yeah, well, leave them on.
Yeah.
Sorry,
there's very few things that I leave notifications on, because I could actually sit down and probably spend an entire day scrolling through a Facebook feed, and obviously yes. That's what it's designed for. So I very rarely kind of look at stuff.
So anyway, I want to wrap up. I want to thank you very much for coming on today. And it's been nice to be able to do something while in isolation and being stuck indoors. And I see people posting on the internet videos of themselves doing silly things, and just to keep everybody entertained. And this is what we do normally. So it's quite funny that we're now doing it to keep people entertained as well. So yes. Keep safe, John.
I've got plenty of videos of me in my hot tub in my back garden.
Rather you didn't, but thanks anyway.
I'd love to see that.
And I'm sure Mary, we're looking forward to seeing you at a convention near her in the near future when they all start back up again. And I don't know when I'm going onto one next. We're hoping to go to Wales Comic Con. That's been postponed, yeah. And now I can't go to it at all. It's on a date
I can't
go. Ours
right, shouldn't
ours it? Is still going. TARDIS at the moment, I'm not seeing anything. Everything's
is
on
Chicago
hold.
TARDIS done as well?
Chicago TARDIS. Is that done?
Yep. It'll happen in November.
Oh, there you go. Go get yourself into Chicago TARDIS, John, and you can go and get have a cup of tea with Mary. So anyway, yes, keep safe. Start podcasting.
I need everyone to put a good word in with Gene, and I'll bother Gene as well, and, yeah. And try and get over there again.
Yeah, go all for right. It.
But it was great. I had a fun time, even though we all came down with neurovirus.
Oh, no.
Oh,
were you a victim of the neurovirus outbreak?
That was for you, Mary.
The
neurovirus outbreak at Chicago Times 2 years ago.
Yeah, did
no,
you get
I
it?
No, I didn't know that you did.
No, did you get it?
Yeah.
Did you
oh,
get it?
Yeah. Literally, most of the British guests came down with it, and a load of us couldn't fly back home.
Most of the British guests say none of the Americans. That's interesting, isn't it, Mary?
Well, a little hanky-panky going on among the British guests, I think.
I think it was the big bowl of communal pretzels and peanuts.
No.
Shared only by the guests.
That was, apart from that, and we were all like the Walking Dead. It was.
I didn't hear about any of that.
But it was great, and it snowed there, and being like idiot British people, because we very rarely see snow, we all got out there and started making snowmen, and then didn't realize how cold Chicago can get.
Oh yeah.
But no, it was good. It was it's great fun, fantastic time.
So anyway, thank you very much, John. I'm sure we'll get you back on there at some point, because I know Kirby really, really wanted to have a chat with you. So if it's still going on in a few weeks' time, I might just get the old Shepherd's Hook and get you back on the show just for the sake of it.
Not a problem. Well, I'm going to be in my Fortitude of Solitude.
Ah.
Working on your podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Watching. I've got my video projector bolted up on the ceiling and a big 6-foot wide screen. So I'm going to just be sat here watching movies. So I couldn't think of anything better to do.
Lovely.
They're trying to get us back to work at the moment, but we'll see what happens.
I am at work, Debbie.
Are absolutely essential and a hero. Yeah, now,
if you say so. Right, anyway, thanks, John.
thanks, guys.
Thanks, John. Nice to see
you, John.
Bye.
Not a problem. And stay safe and stay sane.
Cheers.
And
same to everybody. Cheers, then. Bye.
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.